The Life Room is a combination of online and in-person prayer opportunities for people to unite in prayer around the pro-life issue. And today I'm joined by Sandra, the Executive Director for the Life Room in Canada, here to learn all about it. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. It is a joy to have you back and along for the ride. Big shout out to any new listeners we have with us. I know that we've had a bit of an influx from Wyatt Claypool and the wonderful political folks that are following along the absolute debacle of Justin Trudeau trying to strip charitable tax status from pregnancy support centers. I'll drop a link in the show notes to that recent interview that I joined him on his show for. Today is a bit of a bonus episode. I am joined by Sandra from the Life Room, who will talk all about the Life Room, which is this incredible initiative launched in 2020, focused specifically on prayer for the crisis of abortion in Canada, and I'm sure internationally as well. Prayers for preborn children at risk of being aborted, prayers for mothers and fathers contemplating abortion, prayer for medical practitioners, prayer for politicians, pro-life organizations, and our culture as a whole. I think it's a great initiative. There'll be lots of information in the show notes, but without further ado, here's my conversation with Sandra from the Life Room. All right, Sandra, thank you so much for taking the time to join us in the Life Room. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, Cam. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, it is a joy. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, as you and I were talking about this off air, about how wonderful it is when guests reach out to me, because I love trying to scour the internet to try to find who's doing wonderful ministries in Canada and around the world. It always makes my job a little bit easier when people reach out to me and have a really cool ministry, have a cool story, have cool experiences to share. And so I'm really looking forward to learning about your journey and the Life Room. And I'd love to start kind of with your journey into the pro-life movement in general and the Life Room specifically. Was this something that has always been a central part of your life? Is this something that has kind of grown in focus and importance in recent years? What has your journey been like?
Well, I would say, the Life Room is actually pretty new to me just the last couple of years. I'll get into that in a little bit. But honestly, I've always felt pro-life. And even just a few years ago, raising our kids, we would always make sure they were part of, you know, elections. And I really felt impressed upon myself just recently, within the last 5 years. Absolutely, I would vote only for people that are pro-life. It was like, it's hard and fast. That's where I have to be at, you know? So that was, I think, critical in this shift towards the Life Room, honestly. The journey, I would say, honestly, the last few years have been so impacting on me with the pro-life movement. We had, my husband and I had a huge move from Drumheller up to Hinton, Alberta. I am a go-getter. I won't get into all that for sake of time, but I had my own business, blah, blah, blah. When I came up to Hinton, I wasn't working for like a year and a half because I won't get into all those details. They don't really matter here. But what I did do while I was up here for that time was spend a lot of time with God. I would be on hikes with my dogs in the mountains praying. And I heard about the Canadian Firewall actually, and how they pray, 24/7. So I got involved with one of their hours. Like it was actually 2 hours in the night. Hinton is on Highway 16. So I was actually praying for the missing and murdered Indigenous women. And literally that 2 hours in the night would sometimes feel like 5 minutes. So I would say that that's where the real gripping came. When Fateen did her Engage tour across the nation for the Conservative Leadership Party a few years ago, I told my husband, I'm heading to Edmonton to help her. I'm signing up and I'm going to go help. And the second night that I was there in Edmonton at this big church, which was the thing that really struck me there, was the night that meeting happened was a Stanley Cup playoff night with Edmonton and Calgary, if I remember right, or for sure Edmonton was in it. And it was packed. This church was packed. Yeah. I'm like, wow, God, you're moving and shaking. This is incredible. And we didn't get out of there till after 11 o'clock at night. And before we left, Fatine asked me, she goes, would you pray for the nation for this election? So I started a prayer call. And actually, it's still going. We literally meet every Monday night to pray for the nation. So when this job came up, I was already connected with Fatine. When this job came up a number of months later, I thought, I'll just pray, or I'll just, apply, because I wasn't working. And I ended up getting it. So without being a part of the Life Room, I started managing it. So I actually had a huge learning curve. And everybody within the Life Room has been incredibly gracious. And Fatine was great to teach me everything I needed to know to get going. So that's actually how I got going in the Life Room, was literally just applying. And I've been managing it for just shy of 2 years now. So, yeah.
Very cool. There's so much in there and a wonderful journey. I love hearing about people's journey in and through and how... there's a great book. I'm blanking on the name of the author, but it's all about the making of pro-life activists and engaging our culture, and how for so many people, it's that transition season of life that gives them that opportunity to dive in a different way, in a greater way, in a different way, whatever it may be. And that's beautiful that there was an opportunity to come into the Life Room and help out something that maybe was a little bit new in some ways, but having been involved with other prayer walls and prayer meetings and that kind of thing is wonderful. And so maybe bring us up to speed a little bit on what the Life Room is all about, because while I'm sure many of those in the audience might be familiar with various different prayer rooms in general that are meeting on a regular basis, on a sporadic basis, in an open door kind of capacity, I'm sure at least some people might be unfamiliar with the idea of a 24/7 prayer room that people can pop in and out of. Maybe bring us up to speed on the Life Room, maybe, and its origins as well.
Oh, absolutely. So back in 2017, it was impressed upon the intercessor that started it to, if she did nothing else, pray for the ending of abortion in Canada. And this happened at the National House of Prayer in Ottawa. It was a very strong call of the Lord to pray 24/7 for the ending of abortion. The Life Room sort of originated out of something called the Justice Wall, where people would pray 15-minute increments of time throughout, they would just sign up organically on their own. There was nothing really recorded in that. It was just, pray 15 minutes as you can every week. And so the Life Room gained a structure of pray 1 hour, sign up to pray 1 hour per week. Then when 2020 came about and there was lots of people at home and Zoom became huge, it really took a new life of, praying on Zoom 24/7 for the ending of abortion in Canada. So the first manager, Laverne, spent a whole year just building the structure of the Life Room. She, just got things rolling with getting people involved and also doing weekly prayer points, which I'll get into a little bit later. Then Isabel took over the second year. Again, she's just building the structure. When I took over a couple of years ago now, the Life Room was well on its way. So we now, right now, have all 168 hours covered with leaders that you are designated in. In fact, we have some leaders that literally, they have 7 hours. I have a few leaders that are praying multiple hours a week in this Life Room. It's absolutely amazing to me. And so what happens with the Life Room is basically, like I say, you sign up to pray 1 hour. I've actually had many people ask me, how do you pray a whole hour for ending of abortion? But what is incredible, part of our team that we've built is a team of writers that write weekly prayer points, which include a devotion. So you can prepare your heart to come into your hour with this incredible devotion. And then all these prayer points that focus on, women that are in the valley of decision, the government, praying for policymakers, also praying. Another area that we pray a lot about is the medical field, right? Like there's people that are in that are involved in actually the abortions that are happening. And I don't know, after seeing the film documentary Unthinkable, oh gosh, I have such a heart for these people that are actually working in the industry. So that's where I feel led lots of times to pray, is just for these people that are actually working in that field. It's very tough, I'm sure. There's a lot of structure around the hour. It's honestly very easy to fill an hour because there's all these prayer points that you can follow. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's just speaking to us, right? And he wants us to focus. We even have something called a Signal chat, that's Signal app, where the Life Room leaders, there's lots of times we've got many people that work in the pro-life organizations like pregnancy care centers, and they'll put in that Signal chat, okay, I've got, obviously it has to be completely confidential, but I've got K that's in the center today. They are looking at having an abortion, but they really don't want to. So they'll put this on the chat, and we get to work right then. We start praying, and we have seen answers to prayer by the end of the day, that person has changed their mind. They're going to have the baby. Jesus has given them the hope they need to figure out how to move forward with this baby. Like, it's just incredible, actually. And even those that end up choosing abortion, we're praying for them. We are, yeah, it's so great. We also have, do you want me to stop?
No, this is wonderful. This is so good for our audience to know that there's such an absolute army of prayer warriors who are holding up so many different areas of focus and consideration and prayer, because there are so many different facets that contribute towards this. And so by all means, continue, please.
Great. So the other thing that the Life Room has is something called day captains. So every day we have people that are kind of watching over the day. So I'm busy, for instance, doing this right now. I can't help somebody that's having trouble getting into the Life Room or needs some prayer or whatever. So that we have these amazing volunteers that are helping in the Life Room every day when we need something done, that's boots on the ground right then. So that's really great too. I'm forgetting what I wanted to say now. Shoot, I'll have to edit this. Sorry.
All good. I was going to ask about kind of the dynamics within them. So we've got all these wonderful team leaders. We've got all these people that are joining from coast to coast. I'm sure at least some people joining internationally as well. When it comes to, I don't know if charism is quite the right word, of the prayer rooms, I'm sure that you're drawing a fairly diverse demographic of backgrounds. You may have people who align differently theologically. You have different people who have different kind of faith traditions, all that kind of thing. What does that look like when it comes to the room and ensuring that there's harmony in uniting behind a common prayer focus and making sure that everyone is able to kind of engage in a way that makes sense and that kind of thing? I don't know if that's a fair question. I hope that's not a spicy question at all, but I'm curious how people from different walks of life, different faith backgrounds and traditions kind of come together for a common cause like this. I think it's a great way, but I'm curious how it works.
That's a great question. And yes, that is definitely the way it works. We have everybody here, everybody, all denominations. So honestly, the Life Room works on honor, integrity, love, and compassion. We're here for a united reason to end abortion in Canada. So you will see there's some hours, for instance, that, maybe someone that prays specifically in a Catholic way, like that way, there's actually hours that say this is a Catholic format. One of my favorite fellows, he prays, his name is Dave. He prays on Saturday evenings. He's a priest. He's just lovely. And he invites in people from, actually, they are coming in. I can't remember what countries they pray from, but he has a couple people that join him during his hour where they pray from another country. And I love that so much. So yeah, we have some that are Catholic format only. We've actually had some that are French, only French. Cool. So yeah, it's, when a leader comes to me and says, okay, I would really love to focus on whatever, then we talk about that. Yes, of course. If you're Spanish and you want to come in and we've got some that are Mandarin focused, that's how they pray. And yeah, it's actually amazing. So, and as far as theologically, I think we can all agree that abortion is just not okay. I mean, it's in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. So that's our focus. You can go whichever way you want with the theology, but at the end of the day, thou shalt not murder is the focus, and praying to end abortion in Canada. That's that, everybody can agree on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that there may be an invitation if you want to talk to people who are in your prayer room outside of the prayer room about theological background. I know that we get some pretty spicy theological conversations during lunch hour at our office between the different people from different faith backgrounds, and especially when the interns roll in and they're all coming from different faith backgrounds as well and whatnot. And so outside of the life room, I'm sure that there's people who have even forged friendships with people that they have been consistently praying with, and maybe they end up meeting up with them or engaging with them in a different capacity. But that's so cool. And I'm wondering if you could share maybe another story or two about kind of experiences and outcomes that people have had as part of the life room. You shared the beautiful story of the woman who, thinking about abortion, and the whole prayer team is focused on this. It gets shared in the signal group, and by God's grace, choosing life for that child by the end of the day. I'm wondering if you might be willing and able to share another story or two of the impact that these prayer rooms are having, not only on maybe mothers and fathers contemplating abortion, but all others impacted by this abortion kind of crisis in our nation.
Absolutely. So I'm going to back up a little bit. So I went to, for the first time ever, went to the National Prayer Breakfast in Ottawa in this May. And the week while I was there that week, I actually had the real great honor of going to the Peace Tower Church three times that week for various prayer events. And I met the senior pastor and his wife. His wife, her name is Ginger. She is incredible. That night, and I can speak about this because she was one of our guests. So I'll explain that in a minute. So Ginger told me the very first night I met her, she sat with me, she looked me in the eyes, and she told me about the two abortions she had had before she was a Christian. So I'm going to fast forward. I've developed a relationship with Ginger. And one of the things another supporting aspect of the life room is every 3 months, we have something called a life room leaders meeting. The leaders also invite their prayer partners to this. So we always have a guest speaker. You know, we've had people like Lou Engel has been in here. Various ones have been, but Ginger from the Peace Tower Church is who I had invited to come in August. I did not know that she was prepared to share her testimony with 70 or 80 people on the Zoom call that night. And it was very vulnerable. It was very raw, you know, to the point where, you know, usually as the speaker is on screen, she's there by herself, and she was in tears. So, I mean, I'm across the country, but I popped onto the screen with her just to kind of support her, you know, because she's very raw sharing her story of these two abortions that she had had and the impact on her, of course, right? And how actually after her second abortion, she was in the room. She said she was, I don't know why, but they bring you into this room that's a dark room and you're just sitting there. And she knew even before she had that second abortion, she really didn't want to, but she didn't want to bring shame onto her at that time, her boyfriend's family. So she felt like she should go ahead with this. Anyway, the Lord met her in that room. That is where she started her real concrete journey with God after having an abortion. Like the Lord's mercy, I mean, praise, it's just gripping to me. And the fact that she felt freedom to share, she's a senior pastor's wife, to share this. I mean, that was incredible to me. She honored her husband on that call. She's like, thank you so much for the freedom to be able to share. And I had so many people contact me after that meeting, you know, people that have had this journey. And we know that, you know, all of us are sinners. And but when we bring into the light these things that we struggle with or that we've done that are not of the Lord, when we bring that into the light, there is healing, right? And the shame is gone because the Lord is healing us and dealing with these things, right? So I think that it is critical that the church in Canada embraces women like Ginger that have had abortions and that need support. So she is part of something called Embrace Grace, which I don't know, I won't get into that right now. And there's other things, there's other ways too that churches can support women that have been in this valley that have gone through abortion. Yeah.
Absolutely. And as we've talked about, you and I, before the show started, that's been one of the main focuses of this show, of how do we talk to mothers and fathers who have chosen abortion in their life? How do we draw them towards hope and healing and mercy in God's arms? And how do we have productive conversations? It's heartbreaking when we realize that there's stats that suggest that around 40% of abortions are performed on mothers who have already had at least one abortion. And we think about, these are many of the people who require our prayers most fervently to ensure that not only do they find their own hope and healing, but that they are shielded and protected and choose not to have future abortions as well. And so I think that's beautiful. And to be able to share that in such a committed and confidential and stable environment, and to have that for leadership, that I'm sure that her story isn't the only one that comes up in these prayer rooms. And and people who are joining, the people who are joining are not just the angels kind of thing. It's not just the people who have never had abortions, who have never influenced somebody else to have an abortion. I'm sure many of those that are joining, I know that many of our volunteers, the most faithful, are often those who have had personal experiences with abortion. So it's beautiful that they have that opportunity, and that leaders are empowered and equipped with those tools, that when that comes out, I mean, prayer is this wonderful, great equalizer that often invites and allows for that vulnerability, and for a life room leader to be equipped with some kind of tools to be able to navigate should that come out in a prayer meeting. Hey, I've had an abortion. Hey, I've been there. I've been in the operating room when abortions have happened. I've been an Uber driver, a taxi driver who drove somebody to an abortion facility, those kinds of things. I need to pray for these people. I need to pray for whomever, but also we all are on our own healing journey as well. So I think that's wonderful. Maybe is there any other, I know that you mentioned that there's already a wonderful team of leaders. If somebody listening was interested in learning more about the leadership team, about how they might be able to contribute if ever there was an opening, what goes into being a leader beyond having that kind of weekly reflection and facilitating the prayer room?
There's an application form to become a prayer leader. And we also always need prayer partners. I mean, there's actually still 22 hours where leaders are praying alone, and many of those hours are in the night hours. So it would be amazing to see many more people coming into the life room. The reason, and we also have something called a waiting room in place. And the reason for that is because we did have some Anyway, something happened where you used to be able to just come into the life room, anybody, and pray at any time. But we had to kind of protect the space and bring it and implement a waiting room, so that not just anybody that isn't necessarily, that their motives are not
strong fit. Yeah.
Anyway, so basically, you get a hold of me, Sandra@liferoom.ca, or apply@liferoom.ca. I see both of those. They apply to us with just a very basic application. I send it out to them, and there's always need for more people here, for sure. Is that your question? I feel like I'm not answering you.
So that I feel like for a leader who wanted to take on leadership of a room, when it comes to the people who may be popping in and out, you mentioned having guest speakers come that are leader specific, and mm-hmm. and maybe training or development that goes towards those leaders, so that they're as equipped as possible to navigate mm-hmm. whatever may come up in the room that they're managing, I guess.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, we don't really have specific training, I would say. Yeah. Like, we don't have ongoing training. Anytime that somebody needs, when they get hired, you come on board, we talk about the basic things like staying in unity and honor and integrity and love and compassion, and stay focused on praying for the end of abortion. I've had many, even just recently, someone contacted me, one of the life room leaders said, there is a huge drug crisis in our land. And, can we please add to the prayer points, praying for these young people that are dying of overdoses. And I said, 100%, this is important, but the life room's mandate is to stay focused on the end of abortion. So that's why we don't add in prayer points like that. So it's really pretty basic. The Lord leads the hours. and we just come in as servants of the Lord and pray what's on his heart and use the prayer points if we feel led to do that. Some people don't. Some people just pray what the Lord has on his heart. He's, you know, lots of times I'm just like, God, what is it that you want me to pray? And that's what we do. And so we keep it pretty basic like that. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Good. Simple and accessible to people wherever they're coming in from, so that there isn't a whole lot of baggage and preparation that people need to get through to be able to contribute. I think that's wonderful. Towards the end, I'll ask just to put it all together, how people get involved. But I was curious about kind of the ongoing vision and development that obviously this has grown tremendously from 2020 until now. As we continue to move forward, certainly we're looking for more participants, filling up those remaining hours and growing the hours that are already being contributed towards. Is there anything else that the Life Room is working towards? Because while virtual involvement is wonderful, have you guys been actively, you mentioned attending the National Prayer Breakfast. What other kind of capacities do you engage Christians in inviting them to be more intentional in their prayer life? What is the vision going forward, and how do you guys see the Life Room continuing to grow and develop, if any different than how it is now?
Well, one of the things I'll say is I love to be in person. I mean, you know, it's amazing to do this online. It's such a gift to be able to be online 24/7 across the country. It's incredible. I am very much a face-to-face in-person kind of person, though. So whenever I can, I really wanted to be at the Pro-Life conference that was in Calgary, you know, recently. I if I'd known about it a little sooner, I would have made sure it happened. But if there's another one, I'll definitely be there. So I try and do things that are in person. One of the things we are planning for is I'm already scheduled to go to Ottawa. I'm there May 2nd to the 10th. And we're actually, for the first time ever, having a mini Life Room Summit. And I've already coordinated with Ginger at the Peace Tower Church. So on Sunday, May 4th, I believe it is, 3:30 Eastern time, we're having a couple of hours of, I've already got the word out, like any of the Life Room leaders, day captains, writers, anybody that is coming, please come. And we'll meet in person. And yeah, I've already got some people rolling on that. So that'll be wonderful. I'm not sure how many people will actually end up being there, but that'll be an in-person event where we actually get to meet. It's because there's something really special and tangible about actually being face-to-face. So yeah, we're doing that. I don't know. We're just always, you know, this team, one thing we have done this last year is fasts. We did four 21-day fasts since I've been on board here. So that really, I guess, as one of the writers would say, it just helped us wade into deeper spiritual waters. We did things like, you know, trusting the Lord, and then in January. And I really felt impressed, even before that one was over, to do a Haggai fast. The Lord gave me the scripture Haggai 2:22, and that was the focus of an April 2nd to 22nd Haggai fast, which was very powerful. And then that led into another fast in June where just a few people participated very organically and just very powerful time where they I didn't take part in that one, but the leadership did, that are in the writing team, and the day captains, they did that. Then another one that happened in September was Fearing God and Not Man. So that was really powerful too. In January, we plan on partnering with the Canadian Firewall and joining with them with a fast. So that'll be great. So we do quite a bit of fasting too, as the Lord leads us. So that, I believe, is very important to for the growth, our growth, for sustaining us in our prayer time. You know, we always need to be filled. I mean, we've got to be filled constantly. So that's part of what we do for that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I think the timing of even this recording is providential as well, because when I think of this, I think that this is an incredible New Year's resolution that many people can be taking on as we're reevaluating our schedules and how we're prioritizing different things in our lives, and everyone's buying their gym memberships and whatnot coming up in January here. I think this could be a beautiful opportunity for people to really say, hey, you know what, for 2025, I want to anchor prayer for preborn children and the abortion crisis in Canada. I want to adopt an hour a week, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours a week kind of thing, that I'm going to pray intentionally, maybe in my own on my drive to work, maybe joining one of these video rooms, or maybe even bringing it into a church, because I think that having those in-person prayer encounters are tremendously valuable. If there's any posters that you guys have inviting people to consider being part of it, I'd love to be able to share those to our audience as well. Before we kind of put a bow on this and make sure that everyone knows exactly how to tie in, is there anything that I'm not asking that I should be asking about? Things that get you excited about the Life Room, things that people should be more aware of, whether the function of the Life Room, whether the fruits of the Life Room, what else should I be asking about?
Let's see. There's so much. I'll address the post. We actually have a whole page, a promotional page on the Life Room website where we have posters and various things that people can print so that they can advertise that. Actually, you know, churches can, you know, do that and just add it to their bulletin even. We have an amazing promo video that people can take and, you know, promote it that way. We actually, speaking of churches, we have for sure a couple of churches on board where they actually meet after church and pray in the Life Room for their hour. So that's a possibility. Let's see what else. There's so many things that I wish would come back to me real quick. I'm drawing a blank. Sorry, Cam.
No worries at all. I think this is great. And
something
I think
else was coming up to me.
When it comes to kind of year-end kind of thing, I don't know if you guys are capturing hours spent in prayer and number of participants and whatnot. I hope that continues to grow year over year, and that not only the quantity, but also we can't reduce people to numbers, whether they're our prayer warriors or otherwise kind of thing. And so to continue to involve more and more people, more and more churches, maybe churches that have not been as active as others. I'm constantly working with our various church outreach coordinators at CCBR, learning more about churches that are fairly new to the fight against abortion, and they're really dipping their toes in and trying to figure out, where do we start? Where do we get involved? Certainly politics have dominated the news so much, especially with what's going on south of the border. And a lot of churches kind of evaluating how they as a charity might get involved in political pro-life encounter. But obviously, never forgetting that the churches ought to be anchored first and foremost in prayer, and that everything should flow from that. That certainly comes to my mind as well, and that this can be a great entry point to churches that have not been particularly active or specifically active in this area in the fight for life before, I guess.
Yeah, I'd like to. I actually have listened to a few of your podcasts, and one thing I'd love to say is one of my really fervent prayers right now personally is for the bold, courageous stance for in Canada. I mean, I think of JD Vance and how he will unashamedly stand there and say, I fight for babies. Like, praise the Lord. We need more of that. The Lord loves that. He wants these babies born. He wants to see, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 happen. That's right. I'm having such a blank right now. I'm sorry. You're going to have to be editing all this. You know, thou shall not harm, right? And I think that as J.D. Vance stands there and says that, thank you, Lord, that you have raised up people that will do this. We need to see this in Canada. We need to see, I've even taught, I homeschooled my kids. Yeah. And, you know, I talked to one of the biggest, where I homeschooled through, like the school board, and precious, amazing people, but they as well said, we really can't promote the Life Room from the political standpoint. And this isn't political, this is life and death. So God, my prayer is that, you know, we can be bold and courageous in Canada and remove this political mindset or whatever it is. I don't know, but it's life and death we're talking about here. This is not political, you know? So.
Absolutely. Well, let's put a bow on this. Let's wrap up with how people can get involved. And then maybe if you'd be willing after that to close us in prayer, I think that'd be absolutely appropriate. And so put a bow on it. I'll put all the links in the show notes, but run us through. Where do people get involved?
Well, please apply at liferoom.ca. And also just call me, get a hold of me directly, sandra@liferoom.ca. It's really simple. The apply at liferoom.ca, you'll be sent a very short application. and I go through it. I call your references. We go from there. I pray and I ask the Holy Spirit, is this person supposed to be part of this group? Mm-hmm. Is this person who you want next in here? So yeah, that's really simple. Like, and go to the website yourself, www.liferoom.ca. Check it out, see what's happening. That would be great. We'd love to have you. The beauty of it right now is that there is all hours covered with leaders. So you're not coming in with the pressure of having to lead an hour right away. You can get your feet wet by praying alongside somebody else. So that's great. Yeah.
And wonderful.
I'll close you in prayer.
Please, please, please.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time. Thank you for Cam. Thank you for CCBR. God, I just praise you for their bold, courageous stance. May we all take a page from their notebook and be more, be bolder and more courageous in our fight for life, Jesus. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me to Cam. Thank you, Jesus, for this upcoming season, this Christmas season. God, we know that I personally can say that I'm going to have an amazing Christmas with my precious children and grandchildren, but I also know there are a lot of people in a lot of pain, and this time of year is really hard for them. So God, I reach out to them, and that is why the Life Room exists, is to pray and enter into that space where trauma has happened and enter in and help the just intercede for those that have experienced shame, have experienced trauma. Lord, I lift those up to you right now, and I ask you to, Jesus, enter into their pain, enter into their hopelessness, and give them the peace that only you can give. Give them the joy that only you can give. Give them the love that only you can give, Lord. I pray that each one that hears this message today will have the yes to go forward with Jesus with skin on. Get involved, pray, get involved with any of the pro-life movements. There's so many incredible things going on in this country. And as we continue to connect, there's this unity building across this country. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for unity. Thank you for life and life abundant. You have great and mighty plans for every single baby. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for this time that I've spent with Cam. Thank you, God, for your abundance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sandra, so much for joining. Thank you for the beautiful words in prayer. And thank you for your wonderful ministry at the Life Room. I hope that many in our audience will check out the show notes and find all those links for how they can get involved. And whether it's done in the formal capacity or whether it's done in the silence of your own heart on your drive in, please hold each and every one of us in prayer, not only preborn children, mothers and fathers choosing abortion, medical practitioners involved in the abortion industry, politicians, those working in the pro-life movement, volunteering in the pro-life movement to change hearts and minds and transform our culture. God bless you, Sandra. Thank you so much for everything.
And God bless you too. We'll meet you in sometime, I'm sure.
Yeah, here's hoping. Here's hoping. Absolutely.